welcome. Come on.
But I got to preach Sunday too, right? So I got to do the voice. I put the backpack in my back pocket. Is that going to work? Because it gets crushed under my fat roll. And you fat guys know what I'm talking about, so don't pretend you don't. We came through a snowstorm that you wouldn't believe. I texted Ryan about what time we leave, 4:30? We're only about 70 miles from you guys, if that. And we were in a downpour of snow, and he said, it's beautiful up here. And I thought he was pulling my leg. And we got just north of Dansville, and it cleared up. So pray for us, because I spoke to my wife at 5 to 7, and she said it is real. But she was coming home from work. She couldn't be here. She works late on Thursday nights every other week, and she was working till 6. And she said, it's coming down half an inch an hour. I said, oh, so pray for us, would you, that we get back. Amen. Well, it's a privilege to be in another man's pulpit. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for many, many years in two different churches, and I know when you open your pulpit to somebody else, you have to trust them. How many of you know that? So I appreciate Pastor Marty opening up his pulpit to me. But I feel like I preached a lot of places as a pastor, been invited to other places, and I go when I can. And many times I'll preach a message that I've preached in my church already. There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you had chicken more than once? All right? And I'll pray, and I'll ask the Lord, and I'll go through my notes, and I'll say, okay, and this is, but the Lord gave me something fresh tonight from Fresh Start Church to Batavia to City Church, so I want you to hear what God has to say. Wednesday night people, Wednesday, we have our church on Wednesday. Midweek people, at least in our church, and I think most churches, are the Jesus freaks of the church. You guys are the ones that come out. You're not just Sunday morning folks, amen? Most of you come, I hope you do, and you come out during the week, and you're the people that I feel that God wants to say something to you, amen? God is good. So I want to show you a verse that's very personal to me. Paul, who just came back from Argentina. I was there years ago. It was a beautiful place. Is that as big as you can get it? How many of you can see that from back there? Can you see that, Kathy? Oh, you can. Okay. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. That's the new, Nick, you leave it up there for a minute, if you don't mind. That's the New Living Translation of Psalm 105 and 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. When Pastor Marty was talking about hard times and going through rough times, I thought he was going to go off into my message today. But I want to share some things that are personal to me. It was almost 3 years ago, I was sitting on my porch. I love the summertime. I don't know about you. I don't like the winter. I don't like anything about it. I loathe it. God has me in the Northeast for whatever reason. We got grandkids on Long Island. It's probably why we're here. Plus God's will, more importantly. You know that, right? If it was up to me, I would go as far south right before you get to Cuba. You know the snow's not going to come there. So anyway, one beautiful spring morning, and I know it was just about 3 years ago, so when something jumps out at me in the Word, I jot down the year and the month that I read it, and this was about April of 2015, just a month away from being 3 years. And I was out there with my Bible and my notepad, as I do outside, having my devotions at early in the morning and my giant cup of coffee. And the church that I planted almost 5 years ago was not moving along the way I had anticipated, okay? How many of you are still with me? It wasn't moving as much as I had hoped, and I was getting discouraged, and I was having one of those mornings that I needed to pour out my heart to the Lord and just give Him a piece of my mind. How many of you give God a piece of your mind? It's okay to do that, okay? He's not afraid of you. Come on, you can give God a piece of your mind and appropriately, and I'm giving God a piece of my, and I began to tell Him I wasn't, and this is the words I had, because I remembered vividly. I said, Lord, I'm not really living the dream. You don't live the dream in ministry anyway, frankly. I just wanted to tell you, you live a few nightmares a couple times a week, or more. But I remember saying to the Lord, I'm not living the dream. And in my spirit, it wasn't audibly, but I know, I don't have the Bible memorized, and I hear the voice of God, despite what Joy Behar said. How many of you know Joy Behar said, if you hear God's voice, I don't know if you guys watched that, heard about that on the news, that's something wrong with you. I don't want to be cured of that. And he said to me, I want you to turn to Psalm 105:19. I said the word dreams. I'm not living my dreams. And I heard in my spirit, as vividly as I'm talking to you, not audibly, I want you to go to Psalm 105:19. And I read that, and this is what it said. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord was testing Joseph's character. That jumped out at me, and I wrote it down. It wasn't this Bible I had, but I wrote it down. I underlined it, and I put the date where I read that. How many of you know it? What was God telling me? And I'm going to bring it home to you in a minute. God was telling me, while you're waiting for my promises to come to pass in your life, I'm going to see how you act when you don't get what you want when you expect it. How many of you hitting home here? Leaders and people are waiting. He said, this is what God was saying to me through this crazy scripture. I'm testing to see how you're going to act when you don't get what you want when you want it. Because even though children throw temper tantrums, so do adults. We just do it differently. Let me tell you why I was living that. This is a very personal message, and I never preached this before. I had planted another church back in 1989, an Assembly of God church, and we grew exponentially. We had, from the time the first day we started, and within 2 years, we had our own building. Nothing we bought, we actually built another building, or a building rather. We bought 13 acres of land. My first time pastoring, I was an assistant in several churches. And within 2 years, we had our own building. 13 acres, God was moving. Now hear me. And then what else happened? Oh my goodness. Within a few years, we had a powerful move of God. After I have come home from the Brownsville Revival, if you don't know what that is, you can look it up. And we had 3 years of revival, we paid our mortgage off, our 15-year mortgage off, in 7 years. And we were busting at the seams after 3 years of a move of God. Because when I came back from Brownsville, the church was running about 70. We went down to 30 because some people really can't handle a move of God. And God began to grow it after. That's a different story. And then we were grown expert. And then what we did was, a few years later, after we paid off our mortgage early, we had within a few years of that, we had built an extension. We built a sanctuary to seat about 600. We put down a wing and host Sunday school rooms. We even put in that church a hotel room. A hotel room with TV and satellite and a bathroom and everything you'd need that you'd need from Hilton except room service. And God was moving. So why do I tell you all that? Not to pat myself on the back. What I'm going to tell you was, so when I planted the second church, and at this time in 2015, I'm about 3-4 years into it, it wasn't happening. I thought, well, this would be a piece of cake. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You with me on it? Yeah. You know, when you're used to doing something one way, God simply wants to change you. How many of you know what I mean? And like Pastor Marty said, when you go through tragedy in your life, when you go through upheaval and upswing, whether it's surgery or career move or divorce or bankruptcy or drug addiction, what happens is tragedy will change you. And it's really up to you whether it makes you bitter or better. It's up to you whether it makes you bitter or better. And it just changes the person you are. For me, I got more compassionate. Anyway, let me move on. You still there? And so this is what happened. So God was saying through this verse, he says, and I thought this would be a piece of cake. This is going to be a cakewalk. And the Lord was saying to me, not so fast, knucklehead. Not so fast. He says, I'm more concerned about what's going on inside of you than what's going on around you. I want you to hear this, every person in this room. God said to me, I'm more concerned about what is going on inside of you than what is going on around you. It's more important that you have character than you have success. So God spoke this to my heart. This is a very personal message, I tell you that. I think transparency is good when you preach. And so I'm here going through this routine, and the Lord says, I want you, it's more important to me that you have character than you have what the world or the church classes as success. Because when success comes, if you don't have character, you are going to be ruined. Are you hearing me, church? You are going to be ruined. And so all this talk about dreams, and Joseph, you remember his dreams, right? Matter of fact, would you turn there? It's in Genesis chapter 37. I want you to go there. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I don't have that for an overhead, but I want to read this to you. He was dreaming. Joseph was a young dreamer. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. If you think I'm a heretic, so be it. All right, so. Genesis 37, chapter, verse 3. Am I right? So, Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe, verse 4. But his brothers hated him because Joseph, their father, loved him more than the rest of them. You know, that's not good fathering when you let one kid know you love him more and you tell the other 11, you guys are okay, but I'm really in love with Joseph. Verse 5 says, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, which probably shouldn't have, when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up some bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. How many of you had a younger brother before? Raise your hand, or a younger sister that basically says, I'm going to be in charge of you one day, and you're just a punk. Verse 8 says, his brothers responded, so you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Verse 9, soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars, just so happened to have 11 brothers, and 11 stars bowed low before me. Verse 10 says, this time, he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him or rebuked him. What kind of dream is that? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground for you? But while his brothers were jealous, Joseph, his father, wondered about what the dreams meant. Those were his dreams, okay? God spoke to him and said, one day you're going to rule and reign over your family. He had no idea what it meant. His brothers had no idea what it meant. And we only get the advantage because we know the end of the story. Are you with me so far? So Psalm 105. So he was a favorite of his father. He was spoiled. He was immature. After all, when this happened, he was only 17 years old. Now, if you're 17, I'm not calling you mature, but you're not 30. Immature, but you're not 30 yet. I did some crazy things when I was 17. Anybody here with me? Or are you just all, am I looking at just a room full of angels? 17. It was only 20 years ago, so I remember it. I want you to know that. So, and I did some crazy stuff at 17 years old. And my daughter's here, and I can't say everything because she's here. But anyway, I'll tell you one day, sweetheart. So he waited 13 years for these dreams to come to pass. So God says to me in a nutshell, Psalm 105:19, which disappeared on me, he was being tested. He was being refined. Hear me. The rough edges, the immaturity, the cockiness, the flaunting, the bragging of being his father's favorite needed to be broken off of him, and allow God to do something with him. Somebody say amen. And his brothers sold him into slavery. And most of you probably do know the story. Now, we can take that story. We can look at that, and he was sold into slavery, and we know the outcome. I've told my church many times, I love reading the Word, but one of the disadvantages we have is we know the end of the story. We almost read these things with a light, kind of a, yeah, I know what happened to Joseph. I know what's happened. But see, understand, Joseph didn't know the end of the story when it was happening. His 11 brothers didn't know the end of the story when it was happening. His father did not know the end of the story. We have almost a disadvantage when we see miracles and we see people come out of stuff and God promotes them. The story of Job, oh, but Job went through all that hell. But you know, at the end, he was given back to, yeah, that happened, but Job didn't know that. And so we don't even know the end of our story because it's still being written. It's still being written. And so those 13 years, listen to this. There's 13 years that he sold to slavery. He's in Egypt. And what did this man have to endure? Because it said, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, God tested Joseph's character. Now, how many of you know? And again, I'm pretty sure I'm talking to people who are church people, if I can say it that way. He had to endure some serious stuff. I mean, the Bible says he was good looking and handsome and well built. I kind of probably like me or something. He looked and so this woman named Potiphar checks him out while he's dusting the house and vacuuming, and she said, and you know the story. And so she came on to him, and he kept pushing her away. She came on to him, and he kept pushing her away. So one day, finally, she just gets a little too aggressive, and Joseph said, "There's no way." And he runs, and you know there was a false accusation. Hear me, the false accusation of attempted rape. Let's be honest about that. And he ends up in prison for what? Nothing. As a matter of fact, I preached a series on Joseph. He ended up in prison for doing the right thing. Just because you do the right thing, not all the time you're going to get right results. So he was falsely accused of attempted rape. False accusation for him meant real imprisonment. And then he interprets a couple. I'm really speeding up the story because you already know it. That's not my point. Then he interprets a couple of dreams for a couple of prisoners. And they said, "When we get out of here, we're going to put in a good word for you." And guess what? They no sooner than left that jail, and they forgot who he was. And I believe the Bible tells us he was there for a couple more years. He was there for a couple more years. But I want you to read something, church. Here's the good news. Paul, whoever runs, is it Paul who runs the PowerPoint? Luke chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I wanted to put it up there for you to see. He's in prison. He's been forgotten. He's there because he did the right thing. And it's in Luke. It's in Luke. Why do I keep saying Luke? Genesis 39. And I'll read it to you. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. You see that? But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love, and the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Isn't that awesome? The Lord made him a prison favorite in the prison, and the warden had no more concerns or worries about, because Joseph took care of everything, and the Lord was with him and caused everything Joseph did to succeed. Now stay with me. That's an awesome verse. That's an awesome verse. Here he was. He was forgotten about. He was there because he did the right thing, but he was in prison. He was forgotten about. Now, I want to tell you, let me take away some nice stuff about the story. He was in an old Egyptian prison. Hear me. He became the favorite of the warden. So this is what Joseph had to do. He became head pooper scooper. It wasn't like jail today with TVs and toilets, and they just went wherever they can go, and I'm not going to stay on the gross parts too long. I want to show you a picture of jail back in them days, even in Paul's day. He was promoted to head pooper scooper of the prisoners, and he probably fed them food. My point of this was, Joseph was being tested, but despite the fact that he was doing these menial, disgusting tasks, God was giving him a character that he needed in the next few years. Are you hearing me, church? He was promoted to head pooper scooper. In other words, he did the work and the tasks. The jobs that nobody wanted, nobody else would see. You know what else about church work? Let me tell you something about church work. Most of the jobs, people, are never seen, are never applauded, and nobody ever knows about. I thank God for we have volunteers that come into the place we're renting, and they come once a week. There's a team of people that they rotate, and they vacuum, and they clean toilets, and they do all that stuff. Are you with me now? And all the other folks who don't volunteer to do that get every Wednesday and every Thursday and every other services, they get to walk in to a clean place. When you came in here this morning, I don't know the mess you make, but you cannot have this many people without making a mess and finding gum wrappers and how many of you know and water and bottles of water and all. I don't want to name because I remember our old large sanctuary made me crazy. And you get to walk into a place and it's clean. And probably, I don't know, you probably really can't name everybody who does it. They can't in our church. They don't know who does it. He was willing. Joseph was having character by doing what? By serving. By serving. By serving. I've told the Lord a long time, I don't ever want to get to the place where I have a problem seriously cleaning a toilet or setting up a chair or doing this. Or how many of you know what I mean by that? Because when those things become too small for me, something's got to break off of me. God took this young man 13 years to get all that nonsense off him. All that nonsense off him. Because why? Character is more important than your dreams fulfilled. So here we go. Let me wind it up this way. I want to share something with you. A few points. Number one, about your life. I have promises that God gave me. I've had dreams that God spoke to me. And I don't mean, Hank, I don't mean weird dreams. I mean, you know that God spoke to you and he's given you dreams and visions and maybe you had prophetic words or the word of God has promised you some things. Number one, I want to tell you, God is in no hurry. No hurry. We live by this thing, don't we? We live by a clock and a watch and a time. Everything's time. What time I got to be? What time I got to leave? What time I got to punch in? What time do I punch out? God could care less. I'm telling God, Lord, I'm 3 years into this and we're not getting anywhere. God says, I don't really care. It's more important you have character than you have success. Huh? So God's in no hurry. Number two, character is more important than your dreams. Why? Let me tell you why. Because if you don't have character when you, quote, succeed, or when the pastor asks you to do that thing that you've been wanting to do for years, or that prophecy comes to pass, or the word of God that you were told would come, and it finally comes, and you know what? If you don't have character, disaster awaits you. Integrity is more important than your impatience. What's integrity? Well, they say integrity is who you are and nobody's looking. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you. That's D. That's true. But let me tell you what else it is. When you have integrity, it means you're honest in all your dealings in life. Are you with me in this church? Let me explain something to you. If you can't be 100% honest all the time, you're not an honest person. Integrity means I have honesty. Character means I'm an honest person. Somebody say amen. That when you pay your taxes, you pay the taxes you owe. Amen. That when you say, Lord, I'm going to give to the kingdom of God. I've made a pledge to this missionary. I've made a pledge to the church, and I'm going to go ahead and tithe. And if you need to give, if you say you're going to give. I'll stop there because money gets crazy. If you make a promise to God, give it. Can I say this? If you don't make a promise to God, give it. Amen? One time I held up a dime and a dollar, and I said, all God wants is this dime. It's all he wants. And some of us can't do that. Woo! What else is about integrity? Realizing that God uses us and puts us in a place of honor, not so we can show off, but so you can be an asset to the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again. When God puts you in places of honor, He doesn't do it so you can show off. He does it so you can be an asset to the people of God. In other words, you know the end of the story. That when there was enough famine, there was plenty of famine in Israel, and his brothers came for what? Food. God put him in that place. Can you imagine what that man would have done if he didn't have, hadn't been refined for 13 years? He'd have gave him a haircut starting here. Realize that God uses you and puts you in places of honor, not so you can show off, but so you can be an asset to God's kingdom. The fourth thing I want to tell you about this, I'm closing soon, is this. You don't have the luxury in a place of promotion to sin. What do you mean by that? Well, here's this kid, 17 years old. You know, 17 years old, I did a lot of things at 17, I told that. But also at 17 years old, you're like you're a raging hormone. Do I need to explain further, Pastor Ryan? You're a raging hormone, especially men. Oh my! Anyway, you're a raging hormone. And here this woman, who, again, I believe who was attractive, because he wouldn't have had to run. I mean, if she weighed 700 pounds, he could have walked off. Or crawled off. And I believe she was attractive because Joseph ran. Because he felt his flesh pulling him one way, and he knew God. Because he said to her at one point, he says, I can never do this to my God. And so when God begins to refine you and give you character, you don't have the luxury of sinning. What do I mean by that? I'm thinking Joseph, like any hormone-raging teenager, I've been put in prison. I've been sold by my brothers. Hear me now. I deserve a little fun. Who's going to know about this? Who's, you know, if her and I shack up for a few minutes, I deserve this, and my family will never know it. They forgot about me years ago. Hopefully Potiphar don't find out about it, but I'm going to have a little bit. See, you could get to the place where God begins to promote you and you think you've been suffering, and I deserve a little bit of fun once in a while that's inappropriate. Joseph ran, and if you're going to be promoted by God, He's going to give you character. One thing that character will give you if you let God to break the stuff off you is you don't have the luxury to sin. So run. Run. Couple more and I'm done. The second thing God's going to do is you've got to learn forgiveness. Did you know this man had to learn forgiveness for his family? He had to learn forgiveness. Now, you've probably heard enough messages about forgiveness to make you blue in the face, but I got to tell you something. How many of you heard of Philip Yancey? He's a book writer. Phil Yancey. He wrote a book about 20 years ago. I've always wanted to read it, never read it. And I picked it up at a store in Rochester called Ollie's. How many of you heard of Ollie's? It's like a giant garage is all it is. It's just a big, my wife loves that store. And they have books, they got everything. It's just a big garage. She likes going there. So they have a book area. And I found this book that I've been wanting to read. It's called What's So Amazing About Grace? I'm telling you, I found it for $2.99 plus tax. And it rocked my world. I'm still about halfway through it because I'm reading it slow. Because the Holy Spirit's telling me, you haven't forgiven people like you should have. Not that I haven't, but like you should have. And if you're going to be in leadership, if you're going to be, forget that. If you're going to be used by God and you're going to have character, one of the things that character will do to you is you're going to have to forgive people that offended you, that hurt you, that got on your nerve, that betrayed you. Are you hearing me, church? You have to do it. That means your ex-husband. That means your ex-wife. That means the kids who walked out on you. That means everybody, because we've been forgiven. Amen. And you don't have the luxury to carry unforgiveness. And Joseph had to learn unforgiveness because he didn't know this, but his brothers were going to come down the aisle one day and ask for food, and he could have let them starve. After what you did to me? Are you kidding me? You see, because when you have authority and influence, the potential to ruin people, listen to me, when you have authority and influence on a church, in a job, wherever it might be, when you have authority and influence, you have the potential to ruin people who wronged you at your fingertips. And you have no right to do that. You have to resist, and you have to use the influence to learn to forgive and not pay back. One of the things that book says is that forgiveness is a scandal because it's unfair. Forgiveness is always unfair because you're the one that has to forgive and you're the one that takes the loss. And then it reminds me that when Jesus hung on the cross, God took the loss for the stuff that I did. Always be ready to do the little stuff, church, that comes with no recognition, applause, or platitudes. God is the only one. There are some things that go on that I know how people serve. They do it in our church. That nobody knows they're doing it. Nobody. Nobody except me, maybe one or two people. But the fact is God sees it all. God sees it all. Last two, and I'm done. I want to encourage people here today through the life of Joseph. He has not forgotten about the dreams he has given you. It sounds so simple. It's true. We often think that God forgot us. He has not forgotten the things that were prophesied over your life. He has not forgotten the words that came to you. He has not forgotten the promises in his word that were spoken over you. He's not forgotten. He's just not concerned about the time frame. And if you remain with character, and if you remain steadfast, and you keep your head straight, and you don't fall into sin, you will eventually see the hand of God fulfill his dreams in your life. See, some of you here today, that you've been wondering, what's God doing, man? He's building character. He's building character in you. Because understand this, church, at every level of promotion, there'll be another chance for character. You know that, right? Because I tell my church, and you probably know, if when God is done with you, we'll have a funeral. But until then, we got lots to learn. And at every level of promotion, at every level of that God, you every level, there's another character thing that God wants to take you through. So let me encourage you today. God has not forgotten what he said to you. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Can I tell 5 minutes for a quick story, Pastor Marty? You heard about what I said about this story. I was sharing a little bit with Ryan before the service, but our church, about 5 years old, a couple of years ago, actually, Pastor, we almost closed it. We almost had a closed shop. We just weren't making the bit. It was rough. And I knew God told me a long time ago to start the thing. And I said, God, I don't believe. And we're just struggling financially. And I'm looking for work. And that's okay. Because, you know, preachers only work on Sunday. So, you know, it's okay. I got six other days I can work. And is this being live cast somewhere? Because some of you folks think, what do you do all week? Oh, my gosh. So this past summer, an elderly couple in my church comes to me and says, Pastor, I want to take you out for breakfast. I said, okay, let's meet. We meet for breakfast. They know we're kind of looking for property. They didn't know the hardships of the church was going through. And they said they had this house for sale, little house for sale with a big lot. And I'm thinking to myself, having built a 20,000 square foot building in two different phases, I'm thinking to myself over eggs. I'm thinking, I said to them, how big is the lot? I'm thinking 5 acres. You need 5 acres. Minimum. She says, no, it's about, 66 by 180 and real deep. And I said, we can't build a church on a quarter of an acre. She says, no, we want to give you the house. I said, what? How many of you know, I've seen this on TBN before. I'm not in those I said, you want to give us the house? She goes, yeah, we just want to donate the house to the church so you could sell it and put it into some kind of building fund. And I'm trying to act all cool and cucumbery and going, oh, okay. And inside I'm going, oh! I was. So I said, she said, well, you know, it's not in really good shape, and it really wasn't. And it was, and I'm going inside, I'm thinking to myself, I don't care what, we're taking it. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. So we have breakfast, and inside I'm just butterfly, just brrr. I get home, two of my elders who serve on the board are retired. And the other one is just owns a grocery store right up the road. I got all three of them. I said, we're going to have a meeting in 1 hour. Can you be at my house in 1 hour? Why? Just get here. Yeah, we have a meeting. I tell them the news. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, because the place was about 700 square feet. It was a little house. They had a relative living in there. Is this going to go public? I hope not. I don't want to say too much. Anyway, and so. You know, in our area, it's not depressed. It's doing very well now, our area, thank God. But it was a little house, 700 square feet, just needed more work than you could imagine. I know real estate, so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have this thing for like 2 years before, you know, things pick up and some guy's going to have. So we got an insurance policy and fire policy, theft and all that. And so I called the realtors. I know all the realtors in town, and I got this young lady. I said, I want you to list this house. We sold it in 3 weeks. 3 weeks for cash, as is, because it needed work. People, I'm telling you, I know the codes in Hornell, and you know, I know the codes. This wasn't meeting code for. I mean, it had the garage was in better shape than the house, and the two roofs. I'm not kidding. On the house and the garage were in better shape than anything. So I'm thinking we're going to have this for a couple of years, but we'll sit on it. We got no money, utility bill, whatever, taxes. Sold it in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Now, we just closed on it just like last Friday because it took that long just because of government stuff and just a lot of nonsense went on in there, and there was somebody living there that we had to extract legally. Well, we were trying to be nice about it. Then when nice didn't work, we just called a lawyer. So, and I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I say all that to say this. God didn't forget my prayer and my frustration in April of 2017 when I said to him, I'm not living the dream. I don't even know what the dream is, but that was the thing I told him. I'm not living the dream, God. He said, I'm building your character. I'm building your character. Can we have a couple of musicians? Is that okay? Because I had a musician. I want you to close your eyes. I mean, really close them. And I don't want to just ask you to stand. If not everybody yet, but I want you to wait a minute. How many in this room? Would say, I feel like I'm in the same position. God is, I have these delayed promises. I mean, real promises. Not from some flaky TV prophecy, but I mean, real promises that you know from God, and it's been delayed. Not in God's mind it's been delayed. God doesn't live by our clock, but you feel like it's delayed. I want you to stand right now. You feel like it's delayed. You feel like it's delayed. The Lord told me a long time ago I'm going to have a prophetic ministry, and I can't even. Just you feel like it's delayed. Anyone else? You feel like it's delayed. Maybe you even feel like God forgot. Maybe you even feel. Let me tell you what God's doing right now. I don't care how clean cut you are and how wonderful you are. All I can tell you is this: God's building your character. If He's doing nothing else, He's building the fruit of the spirit of patience. And I want patience, and I want it now. But I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to close. Father, just lift your hands, those who are standing. Lift your hands up right now. And Father, I bless everyone in this house that is standing in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would just refine them even further. I can't ask you to speed up the call. I can't ask you to speed up the promise. That's between you and them. I'm just asking you, God, that to give them more patience and refine their character and break off anything that needs to be broken off in them. Break it off in the name of Jesus. Break off any sin tendencies. Break off any dishonest tendencies. Break off any anger issues that when they get to where you want them to be, they won't be a hindrance, but they'll be a healing salve for people. I bless them. I bless their lives. I bless their ministries or their potential ministries. I bless their dreams. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And while you're waiting for the promises, I'm serious. Talk to your leadership. Say, what can we do? What can we do? Vacuum? Can we clean something? Can we do the nursery? Can we do a kid? Just do the little stuff. God will promote you to major pooper scooper, but then he'll make you king one day and put you where you should have been. Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amazing. Just amazing. Yeah. What you just said, go ahead, take your seat. Just I'm going to be 2 minutes and then we'll be done. What you just said was so two things that really stuck out to me. I mean, everything you said was perfect. That's the best I've ever heard you preach, preacher. The best. Number one, do never get too big to do the little things. Did everybody hear me? You're looking for great. You want, whether it's in the church or whether it's in your job, wherever it is. Don't get too big to do the little things. Don't walk over that piece of paper. That's not somebody else's job. That's our job. God, I love what you said. God's done with you when we're at your funeral or something like that. Do what he's called you to do. And then the second, this is a big one. This is what pastors, leaders, people that want to be leaders, never use your position of promotion to harm somebody else, even if they have it coming to it. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to write a little book on that right there. I'm going to steal. Can I do that? Okay, I'm going to do it. 10%. Never do that. Never, ever do that. If you'll... Boy, those right there take you a long ways. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Matt, come on up here. 5 men, come down here, lay your hands on him. I just want to pray over him tonight before they leave. And he goes back to Fresh Start Church in Hornell, New York. Lord God, we thank you. We pray blessing on this life, this family, the church, the work that you have called them to there in Hornell. I pray, God, that you would give him the desires of his heart, Lord, that you have placed inside of him. I pray that you'd bring things together. Lord, how excited he was with the house being given to him. But I pray, Lord, that was just something that was stopping up a bigger flow that is coming into the ministry there in Hornell. Not for him, not to gloat, look what I've done, but for you to get all the glory and you to receive all the honor. Lord, we pray blessing over him, over his family tonight. And we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said a great amen. Come on. Can you give the Lord a big thank you tonight for Pastor Matt? I love you. If you need prayer, Chris, come on back down here. Stay down here. Chuck, stay down here. If you need prayer, come on down. Let these men pray over you tonight. Believe God with you. We love you. Go in his grace tonight.